Welcome to In Plain Sight, a cybercrime magazine podcast series brought to you by Conceal. Conceal is a zero-trust network privacy and security company that disguises and protects your enterprise's online presence and privacy. Conceal enables secure browsing and secure critical data and resources in the cloud using disruptive malware protection technology. To learn more about our sponsor, visit conceal.io. Welcome, Kelly. So great to be speaking with you today.
Thanks, Hillary. It's always a pleasure to chat with you.
Well, Kelly, National Cybersecurity Awareness Month 2022 is here, and this year's overarching theme is See Yourself in Cyber, with a particular focus on staying safe online, such as it's easy to stay safe online. People will see that messaging in different places. This is such a fun and important month every year, of course. I always look forward to it, always enjoy what everyone's doing. You know, it allows the cyber industry to collaborate between the government, the private sector, so private-public sector, and address the importance of online security. So I'm anxious and excited to see what the balance of October brings to all of us. So to start off, do you want to take us through your thoughts on National Cybersecurity Awareness Month 2022 and the four habits that NCSAM has divided the month into that will help enable people to stay safe online?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to agree with you. It is the best month of the year for the cybersecurity community, and we always look forward to it. So the National Cybersecurity Awareness Month actually started about 19 years ago. Hard to believe that it's been around that long, but it started as a partnership between the National Cybersecurity Alliance, NCA, and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. And as you mentioned, the campaign gives our industry the opportunity to collaborate between both government and private sector, and that whole collaboration enforces the importance of online security. And this year's theme, not the overarching that you suggested, See Yourself in Cyber, is, but the next layer, if you will, it might come as a surprise to several people, since four main points of the campaign could be considered pretty obvious. And those four points are enabling MFA, multi-factor authentication, using strong passwords and a password manager, updating your software, and recognizing and reporting phishing. So clearly, we continue to see and experience issues as threat actors become more and more sophisticated and continue to find ways to carry out their attacks. But again, clearly, we need to pay attention, or continue to pay attention to these four points.
I want to do some mini deep dives into those four habits points in a bit. But first, I'd like for you to share with us a bit about how See Yourself in Cyber, that overarching theme, highlights the important need to recruit talent to help and continue to close the immense cybersecurity skills gap we're experiencing. So, Kelly, would you take us through your thoughts here?
Yeah, absolutely. So lots and lots of conversations are continuing to be had, you know, in podcasts, on webinars, in articles about the talent gap. And we can, I guess, you know, just to back up for a second there, we can all agree that cybersecurity has become one of the hottest jobs over the past few years. Maybe not for the best reasons, because there is such a need for cybersecurity and folks that know how to help organizations protect themselves and their data. But, you know, the gap has become a problem, and not only for organizations that can't find the right talent, but for the country as a whole. The need for people with specific cybersecurity skills and experience is complicated by government hiring, training, and development pathways that are not well suited to recruit and retain those individuals. There are just simply not enough qualified people to fill the millions of open positions globally. There was a study put out by ISC Squared in 2019 that the gap is so big that they estimate it has grown to nearly 4 million job openings. And that same study reports that the population of cyber workers would have to grow 145% to meet the global need. Those numbers are outrageous. But thankfully, there's a few fundamental steps that organizations can take while we address this talent gap. So first would be, you know, invest in the talent pipeline, like recruit from the local schools and local community resources. Remove the word technical or the technical label from cyber work, as that may deter prospects who may otherwise have the skills to help fill some of those gaps. The next one would be to focus on the mission, focus on your organization's mission, a mission-focused team where technical and legal backgrounds, for example, can bring different perspectives to the table. So both are focused on the same objective, which is reducing data risk in their organization, but ultimately they're coming at it from a different perspective and then creating a collaborative environment, and that helps to focus on the mission. Another step would be to reframe cyber from being a cost center to a revenue generator. This helps cyber professionals understand the value that they add versus viewing themselves as a cost center to an organization, which we all know what can happen there. In today's environment, you know, cyber is a strategic part of enterprise risk management and a business enabler. And positioning it as such helps employees understand that the company values cyber and it sees it as a career ladder to scale. And the last helpful hint, I guess we could call it, would be to spotlight employee well-being. So since COVID, there's been a spike in cyber activity with threat actors taking advantage of the pandemic and the companies that have been forced to transition to a work-from-home environment. So cyber teams understand that a single mistake can create tremendous damage to the company. So it's important for them to let their cyber teams know that their efforts are appreciated and that properly managing that stress from the job should be a priority. So some of these things might sound very fundamental and kind of silly, if you will, but you know, we have a big challenge in trying to fill this talent gap, and anything that we can do internally within our organizations to help that, you know, is something that companies should be looking at. So there is some progress being made, and we can thank a recent executive order by the White House that came out this past June, where the federal government will begin prioritizing hires based on skills rather than degrees. So this should open up some opportunity across the board. But the bottom line here, Hillary, is that taking proactive steps to create an attractive and inclusive and sustainable cyber culture in your organization can only accelerate these processes while also becoming a magnet for attracting top talent.
Fantastic. Thank you. And I guess to, you know, transition now into those four habits, we could certainly have a separate episode about each of these, I'm sure. But, you know, let's do those mini deep dives I teased earlier, starting with MFA. You know, where is the general public currently at regarding MFA adoption and implementation?
Yeah, so, you know, MFA is not really a new thing. When I was preparing for this conversation with you today, I checked out various articles on MFA adoption. And surprisingly, the adoption rate is still not very good. You know, numbers are ranging between 22 and 55%. And some of the articles that I looked at were dating back to 2017. So, you know, again, it's not new. And we can also assume that a portion of that percentage that I just quoted are not using Office 365 or other cloud services. And that could be attributed to having reservations or obstacles that prevent some of these organizations from rolling out MFA to their user population. Another surprising statistic that I came across, it was resulting from a survey by the NCA, nearly half, 48%, of the US and UK respondents said they've never even heard of MFA. So that's a little alarming, in my opinion. But that's part of the reason I think why the NCA has established MFA as one of the themes that they're going to be focusing on for the month of October. You know, it's highlighting how you or the user can be cyber smart, which is their hashtag, be cyber smart, through enabling MFA in your organization. And, you know, identity management is an imperative aspect of an organization's cybersecurity strategy. You know, making sure that you've got access to the right tools and the data that you need to do your job, and a security strategy that maximizes the identity and access management, again, is imperative within any organization.
Yeah, that's well put. And that statistic is definitely staggering. I guess, how about passwords now? So, you know, we're told all the time, I feel like it's in our face constantly, make sure you routinely and frequently change your passwords. But since this is a recurring theme, whenever there's some kind of awareness, you know, month, day, what have you, I suspect this isn't necessarily the case. And it's getting this level of attention this year for a reason.
Yeah, you would think that this is, again, a no-brainer, right? Let's not use 1234 or the name of your child or the birth date of your child for your password, because those things can get hacked so easily. Again, with some alarming statistics, 75% of people don't know how to create a secure password. And this is especially concerning because as data this year is showing that 81% of the total number of breaches leveraged stolen or weak passwords. So that's clearly an issue and continues to be one. And now more than ever, to be hashtag cyber smart, strong passwords and a password manager they're a must. They're just something that an organization needs to implement. So some of the guidance that the NCA is suggesting is that you don't take a pass on a password manager. I mean, it's very important to do both things, right? Update your passwords and adopt the support of a password manager. In this day and age, it's genuinely impossible to remember all the passwords to your online accounts unless you're using the same one for everything. And you know, it is hard to remember if you're abiding by all the best practices that are being shared.
For the next, you know, question I have for you, Kelly, how about unpatched software? That's number three. You know, what are some recent examples, I guess, where organizations had outdated software that ultimately led to the detrimental breaches we, you know, can see in the news and things like that?
Yeah, that's another, you know, again, another one that would seem obvious, but surprisingly, a lot of companies' software goes out of date just because maybe there's so much of it and the resources to keep up with all of that. It could be a reason why that's happening, but you know, unpatched and out-of-date software opens up an organization's network to a variety of vulnerabilities, right? Threat actors can target software with known vulnerabilities to test the organization's patch management strategy, and then that allows them to exploit those vulnerabilities that have not been addressed. With unpatched software, threat actors can exploit these vulnerabilities that the patches are looking to remediate. So the best solution to protect against these unpatched softwares is to patch your software. And CISA has explicitly stated on many occasions that foreign cyber actors continue to exploit publicly known and often dated software vulnerabilities against broad target sets. And that includes both public and private sector organizations. So it's, you know, one is not seeing it more than the other. It is a very kind of common playground, if you will, on both the public and private sector sides of business.
And so for the fourth regarding phishing, I guess, how can we learn to more easily recognize phishing and how do we report it? Because I know sometimes you can recognize it, but you're not really sure, like, reporting this, what do I do? Like, I don't know where to go, you know? And so then it just goes unreported and I'm sure fishes other people.
Phishing is the top action variety in social engineering breaches and has caused over 60% of those situations. And this is according to the Verizon's data breach investigation report, which is a great report, has lots of great statistics in it. So since 2016, phishing has seen an exponential increase in both email clicks and do not click rates. So it is an issue and it's not going to be leaving us anytime soon. So even with all the cybersecurity awareness training that organizations offer their employees, their users, they're still going to fall victim to clicking a phishing link. There are 8 tips that will be shared during the month of October, during week 4 that the NCA has published. I can quickly run through them here. They may sound very obvious to a lot of our listeners, but you'd be surprised how many people just don't pay attention. An email that contains an offer that might be too good to be true, an email that contains language that comes across as urgent or alarming or threatening, an email that is poorly crafted, with a lot of misspellings, bad grammar, especially if it's coming from your CEO or somebody that you know their style and their tone. If it's coming across differently from what you're used to and has lots of errors in it, and you know that's not how they write, that's a red flag. If the email is generic and it's not personalized to you as the user, If the email requests any kind of personal information from you, if it asks you to click on a link or an attachment, and if it contains an odd business request, I think we've all heard the one about where the CEO texts an employee and says that he needs her to go out and buy some gift cards at Target. I mean, a lot of people share that one, and it, you'd be surprised how many people engage with it. And then finally, if the address primarily is probably the first thing you should be looking at, if it looks odd or it's unidentifiable, that's certainly a sign that could definitely be a phishing email. You know, very simply, recognize the fake email as being the most important part of a phishing attempt. And then very close second to that is make sure you report it to your IT team so that they can have a look at it, it can be addressed, and they can take the appropriate action.
Kelly, my final question to you is, do you have any final thoughts for any CISOs and security leaders in our audience right now who are looking to continue hardening their cyber posture and protecting their organization's ever expanding attack surface?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's pretty simple, Hillary. I don't mean to minimize this with what I'm about to say here, but you know, when we first started the conversation, I suggested that these four areas would seem very obvious and very simple aspects of cyber training that you know, we conduct in our organizations every day, but they're really foundational to keeping an organization safe. And I think everyone in an organization from the top down needs to change the way that they think about security and practice what you preach. You know, you as vendors, you tell your prospects and your customers how to remain safe and keep your data safe and keep your users safe. But you know, a lot of it starts with you. So as often as you can practice what you preach, I think the cyber training and the mindset of you know, being aware of all of these things that are happening today and will continue to happen, I think that's the first place that we start.
Kelly, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. It was so nice speaking with you, and I'm looking forward to the rest of this month of National Cybersecurity Awareness Month.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Hillary. It was a pleasure.
In Plain Sight is a Cybercrime Magazine podcast series sponsored by Conceal, a zero trust network privacy and security company that disguises and protects your enterprise's online presence and privacy. Conceal enables secure browsing and secure critical data and resources in the cloud using next-generation ransomware protection technology. To learn more about our sponsor, visit conceal.io.